passages. Luke, you heard earlier, chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And then Isaiah, chapter 9, and verse 6. Let me put you on notice from now that we are going to do a scriptural journey. So what I'm going to suggest that you do, those of you that have your phones, put them on vibrate, because I need you to use them, but not for anything else, but to, in your notes, put all the scripture references down. You're going to have to pay close attention because we don't have much time. Write down all the scriptures. We're going to take a journey today. This is a Christmas service. We want to celebrate Christ. So you're going to have to follow real closely, pay keen attention to what God is saying to us on today. That's just giving you a little heads up. Would you welcome the praise team as they come now to prepare our hearts for the word? Come on, welcome the praise team. Amen. Amen. The praise team is going to come. The praise team from the sanctuary is going to come. Pops and Cecilia, yeah, and Michiko and everybody else is going to come. And Kurt and everybody else. And Brother Danley and Sister Lucy and everybody else going to come. The praise team is all going to come. And whoever else knows Temperance Bell is going to come. Yes, and we're going to all come because it's Christmas. So if you know Temperance Bell, if you like Temperance Bell, just come on. If you want to learn Temperance Bell, keep coming. We're going to sing Temperance Bells this morning. Amen? Amen. Pastor Hodges is going to come. Everybody's going to come. Ladies, you know how you do it. One side, ladies. Men on this side. Joy is going to come. Joy is going to come. Joy is going to come. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Pastor Hodges is going to come. And he's going to come quickly. Men on this side. And let me find my thickness. And we're still waiting for Pastor Hodges to come. And Koi is going to come. 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 Yes. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Come on, let's show some love to the praise team. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I'm going to ask you to turn to Isaiah 9 and 6. We've already read Luke chapter 2. Most of you I know can recite this. But Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And you got to remember that Isaiah wrote this centuries before the birth of Christ. But he writes as though it was unfolding before his very eyes. In Isaiah 9 and 6, he writes, and I quote, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." I want to share this morning in our journey, I want to share on the theme, the Prince of Peace. Somebody say, the Prince of Peace. I want us to focus in on the Prince of Peace. We're looking at the greatest story ever been told, but our focus today is on the Prince of Peace, because we can share a whole lot. There's so much to be said about this story, but we want to focus in on the Prince of Peace. Turn to somebody and tell them, the Prince of Peace. Say peace. Father, we pray now that you would bless your word and bless your people. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. Somebody give the Lord a good praise as you take your seats. Come on, give the Lord a good praise. Open your mouth and bless his name, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. I want to take this scriptural journey. Most of the times we're traveling, we use a vehicle. Our vehicle today is the scripture. The Prince of Peace. A lot of folks have commented, I don't know if you have heard, but I've heard some folks say it just doesn't feel like Christmas. Things have changed. And somebody made a note that in 15 years, the church as we know it will be extinct. Christianity as its practice will be extinct. I got a newsflash for somebody. There are a lot of things that have crept into Christianity that do not belong in Christianity. They need to go. There are a lot of folks who say they are Christians but have no knowledge of Jesus Christ. They need to get it right. So I do understand that the way we practice may be extinct. There will be a falling away, says the word. There will be an apostasy taking place among the practitioners. But I got word for somebody here. Jesus been here, is here, and always will be here. And he says, I have built my church, and not even the gates of hell shall prevail against it. Somebody ought to give God praise. So yeah, a lot of the baloney stories that we have told, and a lot of the traditions and a lot of stuff that we have adopted have nothing to do with Christmas, have nothing to do with Christ. They need to go, and they will go. But I want to declare this morning that when all is stripped, when all is taken away, Christ stands as the only potentate. Christ stands as the master of the ocean and the earth and sky. And the word of God says, and they that practice and live in his word shall never pass away. Tell somebody, I'm here to stay. The only thing that's going to leave here is my body. This body, this robe of flesh will die. But I want you to know that's nothing to be afraid of. In fact, Paul says, for me to live is Christ, but for me to die is gain. What Paul is saying, some of you are caught up with this world and you want to stay here. I don't know why you would want to stay here. Somebody commented to a brother who was very sick, and they said to him, I noticed that you are here, and I want to say to you in your sickness, I know you're dying, and you're going to the land of the dying. The brother said, no, you got it twisted. I am in the land of the dying. Where I'm going is the land of the living. Somebody told me there would be no more death, no more pain, no more crying, for the former things are passed away. Give God praise, somebody. I want to tell you a story. The Prince of Peace. Come on with me. Let's take this journey. Walk with me. This journey. When asked in an interview, what is your wish for this Christmas season? Four persons out of five said that what they wished for the most was peace. Say peace. And yet, in the 3,100 years of recorded history, the world has only known 286 years of peace. That's a mere 8%. In that time, over 8,000 treaties have been made and broken. And this figure does not even include the wedding vows. Through the centuries, men have tried to find a way to secure peace. Records from the earliest of times of civilization show that their attempts by way of rules and laws and punishments have not worked. And as civilizations expanded, so did the peacemaking efforts. International treaties were formed and alliances forged, but this didn't bring peace. Within the last century, I want you to hear me. Within the last century, the UN, NATO, and the European Union have endeavored to sign nations or align nations for the purpose of bringing peace, but they have not been able to secure peace. Even in our very own culture, many have turned to yoga, meditation, and even medication, alcohol, and drugs to bring about temporary inner peace from the lack of peace in this world, but still no peace. Tell somebody, no peace. I want to say to somebody here this morning, there's no peace down here. Peace has two distinct definitions. I go to Webster.
Webster says that peace can be defined as freedom from war, civil strife, and public disturbance. And secondly, he says, freedom or peace can be described as an undisturbed state of mind, rest from worry and fear, in one word, serenity. When we listen to Webster's definition, it is almost as though he gives us the world's view and then turn around and give us God's view. Let me say to somebody this morning, in this life, I got some bad news for you. There is never going to be world peace. Wars are never ever going to cease from this earth. Battles are never going to end in this world. People are never going to stop killing each other. I want you to hear me. Earthquakes and famines and all kinds of natural disasters are never going to go away. Hospitals are never going to deny entrance. The cemeteries are never going to close their gates and say, no more. I got some news for you. Some bad news. There's never going to be an end to the troubles and the trials of life. I want somebody to hear me. As long as you live, there will be trouble and trials. Somebody say troubles and trials. The Bible says man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of troubles. Man will always have trouble as long as man lives. Let me give you a true story. This happened for real. Some of you are too young to remember this, but after I've told you the story, you may remember. There was a couple who wanted to get away from the threat of nuclear war. And so they undertook a study of all the inhabited places on the globe to determine where in the world would be the least likely to have any disturbance, to ever be affected by any kind of war. And after studying and studying and traveling and studying, they found the place and moved to the Falkland Islands. Anybody heard about them? Well, a few months later, war broke out between Britain and Argentina. Y'all remember this? In the Falkland Islands. And their newfound home became a battleground. I want you to hear me this morning. There is no hiding place on earth. There is no peace on earth. Whenever you have found what you consider the safest place on earth, watch yourself. In fact, the word says, when they shall cry, peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. Let me say this very candidly. I know some of you don't like to hear this, but it's the truth. You are going to struggle as long as you live. There will be financial struggles. There will be physical struggles. There will be emotional struggles. There will be spiritual struggles. As long as you live, there will always be struggles. And if you're looking for a life without problems, then you are in the wrong life. Everyone has problems. Everyone knows somebody who has problems. And sometimes you become a problem. If you can't say amen, say ouch. So you're looking at a problem. You know a problem. Or you are a problem. Now I know it's always the other person's fault, Brother Reimer. Everybody else is always wrong. Mm-hmm. Brother Skelton, you know what I'm talking about. It's always her fault. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't leave you hanging in darkness.
all that I said is truth. All that I said are facts. But here comes the good news. In spite of all that I have told you, and in spite of all that is happening in the world, there is a peace that God gives. Somebody hear me this morning. There is a peace that God gives. And this is not a peace that talks about the absence of war and the absence of strife, but this is a peace that passes all understanding, a peace in the midst of a storm, a peace when all hell is breaking loose, you still have peace. So though the world may not know peace, you can have the peace of God. Stay with me, stay with me. These things, says John 16 and 33, follow the scriptures now. Have I spoken unto you that in me ye might have peace? In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. If you are facing trouble and trial in your life, don't give up. Don't be in despair. Jesus says, I've come that you may have peace in me. Be of good cheer. Even though you don't know where the next meal is coming from, be of good cheer because I give you peace. Even though your health might be falling apart, be of good cheer. 1700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah prophesied about his birth. Now, most of us know that birth announcements usually come after the birth of a child. But Isaiah gave his announcement of the birth of Christ centuries before. In Isaiah 7 and 14, he says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Tell somebody, God is with us. The wonder of his birth is wrapped up in the fact that when Mary conceived, she was a virgin. I don't have time, but that's the mystery. That which was conceived in her was not of men, but of the Holy Ghost. I can't explain that, but God did it. What's even more amazing are the names Isaiah ascribed him. He says the all-compassing name was not yet received. Yet Isaiah gave us a glimpse of the king, and he says, hey, his name shall be called. Wonderful Counselor, don't have time. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the one we focus on today, Prince of Peace. Now, when the angel said, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, he was not saying that the world would be at peace, but that the Prince of Peace had come. I want somebody to hear me. Your life may be upside down this morning, but if Christ comes into your heart, he will give you peace in your heart that no one will understand. Do I have a witness? When I say that many of us here in this room should have gone crazy by now. The kind of stuff that many of us have been through in 2013 should have killed us, should have driven us crazy. But by the grace of God, through the peace of God, we're sitting here this morning in a right mind because the peace of God passeth all understanding. When I should be crying, I'm laughing. When I should have my head down, it's held high because of the peace of God. Somebody give him praise here. I'm trying to tell you a story. A peace that passeth all understanding. Everywhere he went, he brought peace to troubled minds, bodies, hearts, and spirits. In John 14 and 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Peace. Everybody here needs to have peace. You need to be at peace with God. But here's the truth. You can't have the peace of God if you are not yet at peace with God. I don't
have to guess about it. I know I have at least one witness when I say that before the Lord found us, none of us was at peace. Some of us did not